forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batzler, and I'm visiting with James Brooke. Jim Brooke is the editor and guiding hand of Ukraine Business News. He's in Kyiv, and we turn to the natural gas prices. I note that they are extremely high. I don't follow them. Jim does, so I'm following the reporting. Prices on the European gas market hit $517, that's American, per 1,000 cubic meters in these last days. This is three times the level of the $170 that Gazprom used in January of this year to calculate its budget. Energy analysts say that Gazprom is forcing up the EU gas price to pressure regulators to commission the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline this fall. Jim, isn't this the definition of weaponizing? And doesn't Western Europe notice that they're paying three times the rate and that there's a reason for it? Or is Kyiv a lone voice mentioning, gee?
Yes, they will notice, and they'll especially notice when they get their heating bills this fall and this winter. Gas prices are at a record, and it's an artificial shortage because Russia is sending more gas to China, but it's cut its deliveries to Europe. It's the flow through the Yamal pipeline, which goes across Poland to Germany. That was cut in half last weekend. It stopped filling its own reservoirs in the underground storage capacity in Netherlands, Germany, and Austria. Stopped filling them. They're at only 57% capacity. These tanks essentially are for use during November, December, January. So the EU is fated to go into the winter with low gas reserves. So Russia is creating a crisis. You are entirely 100% correct. They are weaponizing gas, and they're doing it to basically push the Europeans against the wall, saying, you want to have a nice warm winter? Lean on your leaders to commission Nord Stream 2, and we will turn on all the taps and you get all the gas you want.
Jim, you're a practiced veteran reporter, wide world. This strikes me as crude and obvious. Is that on purpose? Does the Kremlin want everybody to know that it's got the high hand and it's a bully?
It is crude. I'm not so sure they're really advertising it. I think they want the word to get out. And they have said in the past that, if you just commission the pipeline, you'll get all the gas you want. It is weaponizing gas, and it's frankly not the first time this happened. And some people in Washington, Berlin may choose to pretend it isn't happening, but it is happening, and it'll be very expensive this winter.
Mr. Zelensky is due in Washington at the end of this month. I would guess that this will be an item of conversation with the White House and the State Department, that the Europeans are being robbed by Moscow let's move to what that pipeline means. The last time we talked, the expectation was by limiting the amount of gas that flows through Ukraine, it was cutting into Ukraine's budget. But at the same time, I believe that the operators were maintaining they need to dismantle the pipeline. Is that correct, Jim, that they can't maintain it without gas?
John, yes, if you play it out 3 or 4 years down the road, there really won't be much point to the pipeline. And Russia has just spent $11 billion to build a needless pipeline, a pipeline that is not needed for economic reasons, because the Ukraine pipeline is perfectly good and can handle all of Europe's needs. And as Europe goes green, it's going to gradually reduce the amount of natural gas that it consumes. But Putin went ahead and built this big pipeline basically to do an end run around Ukraine, to not have to depend on Ukraine for sending the gas across, and to give him a free hand to do whatever he wants to do with Ukraine. I'd like to compare it to the U.S. troops in South Korea, just south of the DMZ. They're the human tripwire that prevents North Korea from attacking. In the case of Ukraine, the fact that that Russia was dependent on all this gas flowing across Ukraine, it was a break. It was a lever that Ukraine had to restrain Russia's aggressive behavior. That will be gone in probably this winter.
Positive news. The price of food is continuing high. The price of gasoline continuing high. The demand for natural resources continuing high. And that all is positive for Ukraine's budget. I note at the same time, according to your report, following your reporting, Jim, Ukraine is undergoing privatization of its large industries. This is positive, of course, in my understanding of capitalism. How's it going? Is it accepted?
It's starting up again. They had to pass some laws, which they've done, and now we're going to see some of these big, huge state companies go on the block. Believe it or not, 30 years after the end of communism, Ukraine has 3,600 state companies, of which only about 100 make money. And they're just rife with corruption and people stealing right and left, and that's why there's been resistance to privatizing them, because you're taking money out of someone's mouth, but or out of their pocket. But Ukraine is actually doing pretty well with these high commodity prices. Iron, corn, wheat are all very high. We've got a high level of reserves. And since the beginning of the year, the local currency, the hryvnia, has appreciated, has valued up 5% against the dollar. So if you had bought hryvnia on January 1, you would have made 5% in dollar terms.
The positives here are significant for President Zelensky. The virus and the vaccine, Jim, we attend to it because you see the headlines from back home. We're cautious here about Delta, and there are new mandates for proving you're vaccinated in order to enter a restaurant in New York City, for example. Other municipalities are approaching it in a similar fashion. Is Ukraine changing its thinking about masking, distancing, the vaccine?
Yes, and I think people are realizing that we're now in a race against Delta, and they're vaccinating 150,000 people a day, which is very high by Ukrainian standards. And so they have one of Europe's highest rates for vaccinations every day. And it's sunk in that you really won't be able to travel without a vaccination. In fact, there's news out of the White House today that foreigners may not be able to enter the U.S. without a vaccination card. And also, they're getting the kind of vaccines they want. I mean, I hate to say it, but the Ukrainians wanted Western-made vaccines, and they turned up their noses last March at perfectly good vaccines coming in from India that were made under British U.S. patents. But now they're getting the Western-made vaccines. And there's been a sea change in attitudes. People are getting vaccines right and left.
What about caution? Do you see masking in the street, Jim, in Kyiv? Do you see people careful in restaurants?
No masking. Whenever I go into the local sort of deli or mini market, I put on my mask. I was in the metro, the underground subway here, and of course that it's obligatory. I wore a mask. I was in a bus, wore a mask. In the airport, I wore a mask. You know, it's hard to eat with a mask on. So.
Of course. I understand. It's a complication worldwide. Finally, about this darkness visible of Belarus, you have a sense of this, Jim. You're a veteran foreign reporter. Is Belarus escalating? Are we going to see more and more provocations such as the murder of this young man, if it is a murder? We have about a minute.
Yes, we will see more. And this Belarus-Russia military alliance is dangerous because Belarus has just said they will allow Russian troops to enter Belarus.
So what we're looking at is Belarus is being used as a pivot to torment Eastern Europe that is opposed to the Kremlin's practices. That would be Poland. That would be the Baltic states. Look at your map where Jim lives. You see that? You can see the line right up the Russian frontier. It's called the Near Abroad if you're reading a Russian novel. But right now, there's a murder in a park in Kyiv that points right at Minsk, and that points right at the Kremlin. James Brook, the editor of Ukraine Business News. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.